Take a trip with us to learn about some of your neighbors with this edition of KXCR Conversations. These are neighbors just like you and me, and how their lives are filled with history. KXCR Conversations with you.
Hello and welcome to another exciting KXCR Conversations. I am your host, Larry Bloomfield, and today in the studios we have another exciting guest. Her name is Ruth Davis, and she is a writer and wrote a book about wellness. How are you doing?
I am well.
Very good. Awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to share some things with you today.
Very nice. Well, your book is a wonderful thing that you put together there, but the information in it is of great value to everybody, I believe, and that is thinking and keeping the mind in a good set so that you could be the best human being possible. Would that be correct?
I think that's true. The book is called Heart Spark, Seven Practices for Loving Your Life. You want to know how it started?
Yes. How did you get started in the field first, and then maybe the compilation of the book after time?
Okay. By trade, I am a self-employed Macintosh, Apple, iPod computer trainer.
Wow.
I was in business for 32 years. I recently closed the business last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good business. I liked it. I worked with independent customers in Phoenix. I lived in a big city because I believed that in order to have my business, I needed to live in a big city and work with people one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Life was good. I went on vacations to the beach. I had a good circle of friends. I volunteered. I had my company. But, you know, it was just okay.
Mm.
But isn't that what we do? Life is good. We stick with it. It's good enough.
Get in that rut and continue.
Yeah,
day in, day in.
There's some good stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know something's missing, but we're too busy staying with what is that we don't think about what else. So in 2007, I had emergency open heart surgery. It wasn't for arteries. It wasn't because of a stent. I had a very, very rare tumor in my left atrium in my heart. And the guy that found it was amazed that I was even still alive.
Wow.
And so I went in because I had some chest pain, and the next day I was on the table.
Wow. That's amazing. They got you out there really quick.
Well, it was life or death.
That bad. Wow.
So most of the time, anybody that has had a traumatic experience, it could be surgery, it could be a death, a big move, you lose your job, something happens.
Yeah.
And it's a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it took a long time to recover. When you're recovering from open heart surgery, you can't do very much.
No.
I couldn't open the refrigerator by myself.
Wow.
I mean, you know, they're cracking your chest open.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no muscles there. So you do a lot of sitting and breathing. Mm-hmm. And breathing is painful.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's the only thing you can do, you get to focus on it. And fortunately, I came from a yoga background, so breath was a friend of mine.
Important, yeah.
So breathing is an amazing thing, because when you're breathing really deeply, not just in your uppers, but when you breathe down in the lower lobes of your lungs, endorphins are released.
Mm-hmm.
Things actually happen that make you feel good.
Yeah, it's kind of like belly breathing in a sense.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And part of my recuperation was deep breathing, because it hurt like hell.
Mm.
And so with every deep breath, I would try to breathe deeper. And there's a lot that you think about when you're breathing, because that's all you can think about.
Yeah, it's on your mind.
As I was recovering and breathing and not really doing anything else, because you're not interested in watching television or reading a book, you're pretty much just being with yourself.
Wow.
And that can be really, really uncomfortable.
Mm.
Even on a good day when you're feeling really good, sitting with your thoughts, really uncomfortable.
Mm.
And in the process of the recovery and in the year of getting back to myself, I noticed the things that I did that helped me move forward. And in those next 3 years, so much changed in my life. I started working with a high-level business coach because I hated living in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I lived there because my parents were there.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was going through cancer.
Mm.
And again, I thought that the only way that I could make a living was staying in this big city that I hated.
Mm-hmm.
That was really hot in the summer. 6 months of the year, really. It's the summer there.
Yeah.
And so I started working with this coach, but that was a year after I went and got certified to be a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had said about life coach, and I heard it, and I felt something in my body resonate when they said those words. I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to pursue that. turned out right in my own neighborhood was a program, and it was wonderful.
Wow.
I learned
nice.
About myself. I learned about asking questions, mm-hmm. which is now my favorite thing to do. And then I worked with this coach, and she helped me realize that there are different ways to connect with your customers. There are different ways to work with people. And she set me on a path to work in video so that I could upload videos, and people all over the world, it turned out, could learn from me without me having to work one-on-one in homes.
Very nice.
Which took me to the beach because I've always wanted to live at the beach. So I packed up. I got out of my rental house. Mm-hmm. I took my 24-foot motorhome and my dog, and we went to live in Central California at the beach a couple months a year. Then I'd come back into Phoenix, work with some clients because I loved them so much.
Yeah.
But I wasn't relying on working with them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so freeing.
Yeah.
And then I'd go back to the beach.
Nice.
What was amazing to me was this original plan of moving to the beach was I'm going to take my Mac business there. I'm going to have clients. I'm going to do videos. And I'm going to rent a house. And the minute I was like an inch from being selected to be a rental, I called the woman. I said, I've changed my mind. I couldn't believe it. All these years, it's like I want to rent a beautiful, cute little two-bedroom house with an ocean view and an art studio, and I'm going to be the happiest I've ever been. And the minute that was available to me, it was like, that's not enough, Ruth. You don't want to just replicate your life. I was like, I don't? Oh, my God, what do I want then? So many people, I think, get so, oh, I could never do that. But this is what I've always said I'm going to do, so I better stick with it. But there was something big in me that said, don't do it. Don't do it.
Wow.
Well, if I don't do this, what will I do? I don't know. What will you do? And part of making a change is asking new questions. It's not asking the same questions to get the same answers. If you say, how will I do that? Probably you're going to hear yourself, you can't do that. You can't afford it. You don't have enough qualifications for that. How can you possibly live someplace but not be in a house? What are you going to do?
You're your own worst enemy.
Yes, yes. And the people around you who spill their fears onto you. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's and if we're not grounded, which is the first practice in the book, grounded in your own beliefs, in a support system that really believes in you, then you're not going to be able to do something new and different because you're not going to feel, okay, I'm scared to death. And I'm still going to do it.
Yeah, get out of the box type of thing.
Yes. Forget the fact that you've never done this before. That all those voices that say you can't, you won't, you shouldn't. Well, what if I said I'm going to anyway?
Amazing.
It's scary as hell and so empowering. And so instead of taking that apartment, I stayed at the beach. I wrote a book. I went on a cross-country road trip by myself with my dog.
Wow.
Even though, and this is a big one to me because the dream was always to go across country with my partner.
Yeah.
But she was still working. She wasn't ready. And there was that voice in me that says, well, then you can't go. And the other voice that said, but I need to go. And the reconciliation between those two, how can I do this by myself? How can I possibly do this by myself? I'll be sad the whole time because she's not with me.
Yeah.
Well, how else will you feel? Because we get stuck in, I'm going to feel bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to be scared.
Just driving it down so that you don't go that direction.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to feel those fears.
No.
No, no.
But what if you give yourself a place to say, well, what else?
Yeah.
What if I did go? How might that be? Why am I really going? If we always come back to why we're doing something, all the reasons that we can't, if we're grounded in why we really want to do this, I wanted to drive cross country to prove that I could, to see some friends that I hadn't seen, and to share my book with people along the way. And of course, I didn't do it in a very traditional way. I didn't stop in bookstores. I would talk to people in campgrounds.
You just enjoyed your trip, which is wonderful.
Exactly.
That's awesome. That's the way that I would love to see life unfold, in a means of making you happy. Because it's not about monetary income, although those are really important. And
you have to be able to support yourself, yes.
You need something to keep the ball rolling. But it's always wonderful when you can do that with a smile on your face, and you're really happy about what you're doing. And I can see across the table here, you're just full of excitement, and that's a wonderful thing, especially to be able to do it on your own, too.
Well, I'm a self-starter. I'm self-employed. I've always been kind of independent and a renegade. And so those particular assets, which are challenging to other people, they're not my thing. But not everybody is an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people that are very quiet and not self-starters are really good at what they do because they're focusing on the skills that they enjoy and that come naturally. Just because it comes naturally doesn't mean you should do it. Just because you're good at it. You know, I was really good at what I did for a long time.
Yeah.
But after a while, that stops being totally fulfilling.
Yeah. Well, you need to put yourself out of the box in a sense to challenge yourself and see who you really are.
Absolutely.
I did a conversation with a gentleman who wrote a book in traveling all by himself. A really wonderful conversation talking about how he matured over time to be able to get into an uncomfortable position. That was his desire at that point because he found himself growing at the best in those positions.
Absolutely.
Which is amazing.
When we're comfortable, nothing changes.
Yeah.
We're comfortable. And it's great to be comfortable.
Same old pair of shoes. They're nice.
Yes.
Just put them on and keep going.
But those pair of shoes are so worn that you really can't walk much further than where you always walk.
Yeah, yeah.
And life is so exciting in that unknown. Mm-hmm. Scary as hell.
Yeah.
Really uncomfortable. But when we can be grounded in uncomfortable, okay, this is really uncomfortable. I'm going to sit with, okay, so I'm going by myself. Okay. But you know what? If I go by myself, I can eat when I want to.
Mm-hmm.
I can go where I want to. Mm-hmm. I can stay as long and leave when I want to. I don't have to compromise.
It's amazing.
There are some benefits there.
There
so
is.
Whenever you're going down that road of all the negative things, if you can stop and ask yourself, are those even true?
Yeah.
Because often we repeat things just because it's what we're
just
used to say.
Stumble blocks it.
And also, what if we let that go? What else might open up for us?
Mm.
And how can we be okay with it?
Mm-hmm.
I worked with a coach once, and whenever I would get afraid of trying something new, she said, how about if you look at it as an experiment? There's no ego in the experiment. There's no, oh, nobody showed up. I tried this class and nobody came. Well, that's the ego. The experiment says, what did you like about it? What worked? What didn't work? Nobody showed up, but what kind of response did you get? Maybe somebody did show up, but not enough people showed up. What did that one person get out of it? So when you take yourself out of the situation, leave your ego off to the side. You can't stroke your ego every day all the time because you won't get anything done.
And
think about, what did you learn from that experience? It's like, oh, okay. So the people that showed up were blah, blah, blah. Those are not my people. No big deal. They're not your people. It's not about you. They're not the people looking for your message. So where else can I go to, you know?
Keep traveling down the road.
Yep.
Yep.
Get your ego is a lovely companion. But
it can also stumble you up and tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And that's not the
helpful
way you want to go.
Yeah. Your ego will keep you comfortable. And life is way too exciting to always be comfortable. It's nice to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Maybe if you can throw a little edge into every day.
Well, I believe we're all made for adventure to a certain extent. Everybody's looking for that excitement or entertainment in a sense. And adventure gives you that.
Absolutely.
It enables you to open a door that's never been opened. What's in that room?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's wonderful.
It's funny because people see me as an adventurer. I don't. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to try this one next thing. I don't want to see the world. That's like way too big for me. And that's okay for me. When people say, so where you're traveling around in your motorhome and you're volunteering, where do you want to live? Where are you going to settle down? I'm like, that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
This is, I'm here right now experiencing this, and maybe I have an idea of what direction I'm heading. Right now, I'm going north or south. I'm not going west because that would take me into the water. That's all I know.
Yeah, we're pretty close to the water here. You wouldn't want to go too much further.
No.
Well, it's a nice place to visit.
Absolutely. Yeah, but to just, you know, adventure doesn't have to be huge. You don't have to go travel Europe to have an adventure.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to a supermarket you've never been to and look at an aisle you've never looked in.
Yeah. Or you know? Try something you've never tried before.
Yes. Yeah, go to a different restaurant. Oh, try a food that's different for you. That could be an adventure enough for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start small enough, it's like not overwhelming. I'm going to an Indian restaurant. Oh, my God. I hope it's not too spicy.
Mm-hmm.
I hope there's something on the menu that I can understand what it is because it's a foreign land.
Mm.
You know, so you ask the server, what do you recommend?
Mm-hmm.
You bring a friend and you share.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then even if you don't like it, give yourself a...
Yeah, definitely.
Because you tried it.
Absolutely. Oh, there's... The spice of life is variety.
Yes.
And until you've stepped out of your own little box and you've never tasted something that's completely different in your world, how are you familiar with what it tastes?
Yep.
Now, you may not like it, and that's understandable, but who knows to what it might bring you. For instance, there was a time my dad shared with us that he was in the military on a big ship, and the captain of the ship was in the cafe making food for everybody, and he made a black soup. And my dad got in there and looked at this and said, I'm not eating this. It's just burnt or whatever. And so he actually stepped out and came to the table where my dad was at, and he challenged him and said, look it, if you'll try that, you can stay here with me for the rest of the day. And if you don't try it, and then we can work on that. So my dad, being definitely underneath him, tried it, and his jaw dropped. He was amazed at the flavor and the quality of this, and he looked at the guy and said, hey, I'm sorry, this is really something very delicious, and I'm enjoying it. And so the officer looked at him and said, well, when you're finished, you can come in and help wash dishes with me. And it was a great opportunity for my dad to learn, because he taught our family that way. And so it didn't matter what we were served. We always were given the opportunity to just try it. If you didn't like it, you didn't have to finish it.
That's wonderful.
But give yourself the golden opportunity to try something brand new.
Yeah.
And it was exciting because we lived our life like that.
Yeah, that's great.
That is fantastic.
I mean, so often we talk ourselves out before we even try.
Yeah, yeah.
Try it,
definitely.
And then you can complain all you want to. I love it.
Well, you wrote a book here, and it is basically taking what your challenge was and putting it into words. Can you give us a synopsis of it in a brief moment?
Sure. Heart Spark, 7 Practices for Loving Your Life. It is a combination of essays and stories, because they're different, that illustrate the 7 practices. And I'll just share them with you.
Please.
Grounding, which is the most important. And the practices are not necessarily in order.
Can you give us a little idea of each one, meaning grounding, to my end listener? What does that mean to them?
Okay. Grounding. Imagine a tree.
Mm-hmm.
A tree moves in the wind, and unless it's a huge wind, the roots, the root system, and the growth of the tree holds it in place so that it can move without breaking. So grounding would be relying on your support.
A connection.
Knowing that you're supported in, you're going to take a risk, your beliefs, your support system. Stillness will ground you.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing is my all-time favorite anything. If you learn nothing from this conversation, it's our breath is our life force.
Yeah.
It can slow us down. It can relax us. It can calm us. If you have insomnia, do deep breathing. So when you're freaked out, breathe.
Breathe. There you go.
And as deep as into your belly as you can.
Very good.
For as slow as you can.
Yes.
Because when you're taking on these new challenges to make a difference in your life, and it's not easy, if you can breathe, it will seem a little more doable.
A little clearer.
Yeah.
Yes. Very good.
The second practice is quieting. We hear a lot of noise in our lives, background noise out in the world, the noise of our stories. A lot of people don't live in any kind of silence. They have to have the radio on.
Yes.
What are we afraid of hearing? You know, you didn't do this today. You're not good enough. What is all that stuff that we want to drown out?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if we took a few opportunities to sit with that uncomfortable quiet, after you get past all the, I know I say that to myself. I can't believe I still say that to myself. If you put all that aside, what else might you hear?
Mm.
You know, if I weren't quiet when I was moving to the coast, I would have missed that really important thing, voice that said, don't take this rental.
Mm.
There's something else for you.
Yeah.
It was really scary.
Yeah.
But when you're quiet and you hear the true voice in your heart, there's a part of scary that's not there.
Resonation.
It's exhilarating.
Yeah.
It's like scary excited.
Mm.
Reframing is one of my favorite tools.
Mm-hmm.
If you're afraid, anxious, the same energy is excited.
Mm.
So if you turn scared into excited,
what
are you scared of? You can go down a bad road.
Mm-hmm.
What am I excited for? It'll give you one thing to keep you focused in the direction of moving toward the thing that's new and different.
Yeah.
And we don't hear any of that if we allow all the noise of our lives to overwhelm us. So being out in nature, you know, there's nothing else out there. Watching a fire, staying away from the emotion of things, and just listening to what's really true.
Yeah, watching the waves at a beach.
Yep.
Very much.
And the minute you realize you're no longer watching the waves, don't beat yourself up. Just watch the waves again.
Yeah.
You know?
Get back into the moment. It's just your mind doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going to wander.
Yes.
Let it just know where you want to bring it back to. My favorite step is exploring. It's asking new questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not looking for the same old answers. We know those answers. They're not really working. I mean, they're working, but it's not going to help you make a change if you keep asking the same questions.
You're not really growing.
Not at all.
Yes.
Be curious.
Mm-hmm.
Do things as an experiment.
Mm.
Take yourself on little adventures. Doesn't have to be, okay, I'm going to do this new thing.
Just, we're going to the moon.
just something small.
Yeah.
Go for a wander without knowing where you're going and being okay with that.
Walk a dog.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I love walking my dog because I stop when he stops.
Yes.
And when he's smelling something, I'm going to look up at the sky. And if I find myself thinking about what I'm doing after the walk, bring myself right back to the present moment. Life happens right here.
Yeah.
If we are worried, we're thinking about the future. If we're in regret, we're in the past.
Yeah.
Life happens right here.
Yeah.
And this moment might suck, but it's a moment. Stay with it.
Yeah.
Something else will shift.
Yeah.
Every moment can't suck or we'd be dead.
Yeah. Just look forward to the positiveness that's coming.
You got to find it. Saying thank you for the smallest thing.
Yeah.
Gratitude is a grounding thing. It's also an action step.
Yeah.
It brings you back to what is working right now. And it could be something small. It could be I have a dog to kiss. It could be I have a roof over my head. It could be I'm sitting here talking with somebody I've never talked to and I'm having a lovely conversation.
Yeah.
I am so grateful.
Yeah.
So gratitude, whatever, wherever you are in a moment, if you're freaking out, find something.
Yeah, anything. You know, just it's amazing, too, when you say thank you or if you point out something that you find in the person you're speaking to is like, wow, what a wonderful trait that you have there. All of a sudden, you see a certain enlightenment in them where they're all, oh, geez, you found something great in me. Thank you.
Yes.
And to see that excitement in that person and their happiness brings me joy.
It shifts.
So, yeah, it's
shifts
amazing.
The energy.
Absolutely.
It's all energy. When you start exploring, you remember, oh my God, I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when I was six, I took a drawing class and I loved it. And then somebody told me, I'm, and I stopped drawing. Well, getting clear about, I really want to do that more. So getting clear is a product of exploring. It's also a product of quieting. When you get clear, you start to realize what you want more of in your life. And what you want less of, so that when an opportunity is proposed to you, would you like to, blah, blah, blah. Take a moment and pause, because often we respond, we react when we really want to take a moment and think before we respond.
Yeah.
Reaction is often, you do it because you should, or because you're angry, or fine, I'll do it. If you take a moment and pause, well, you know, more and less. That's on my less list. So, nope, I'm going to say no. Thank you, though. Thanks for inviting me. But it's not on my more list.
Yeah.
But if somebody says, would you like to go paddling this weekend? More, less. More adventure. I guess I'm going to say yes. Scares me. Never been in a boat. But sure. So more and less, when you get clear about what's important to you mm-hmm. and what direction you want to move, it becomes a lot easier to let go, which is another practice, letting go.
Sacrifice.
Of the things that don't support who you're wanting to be more of.
Yeah.
When you let go, you're creating boundaries. You're being willing to sit in a fallow field.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, in San Diego, a ranuncula farm. Ranuncula is a flower.
Mm.
And it's called the flower farm.
Mm-hmm.
And in the spring, they are the most beautiful, all different colors, rows and rows of these beautiful flowers. And in the fall, they clear the fields. And in the winter, they actually spray to kill anything that was left there.
Hmm.
So that the, and then they plant again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this whole season where they want it to be not growing
mm-hmm.
for the earth to kind of come back to itself.
Interesting.
To be completely fertile and ready for the next bloom.
Mm-hmm.
People have fallow fields, fallow times,
yeah.
where you're not writing, where you're not creating.
Mm-hmm.
We have seasons of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we think we should always be moving, doing bigger, better, faster.
On fire all the time.
All the time. Impossible.
Yeah.
And if we look at nature, nature is not always on fire. Mm-hmm. We have seasons.
Yeah.
We're coming up on the letting go,
mm-hmm.
where we can hibernate and decide what do we really want to plant for spring to bloom.
Well.
So letting go is so important, and imagining is the sixth practice. What might I want to grow in that fallow time?
Mm-hmm.
What else might there be? And actually imagining, writing about, or drawing what you see yourself being and doing and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
What I have found in all of this is it's not about I see myself as this and therefore it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's how do I want to feel in that place?
Mm-hmm.
Because the particulars are going to change. The how it happens is not going to be your plan from A to Z.
Yeah.
But how do you feel? Why are you doing this? It always comes back to that. So that when the path shifts, oh yeah, it's not what I thought, but it's this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really amazing. The seventh practice, the last one, is taking action.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can dream about your life all you want to. But if you don't do something.
Couch potato.
Yeah. Oh, in my dream, I'm driving across the country. It's fabulous. But until you start looking for how you're going to make that happen,
mm-hmm.
take a class.
Yeah.
Take your first step. Resting is a very important step.
Mm-hmm.
Pausing, because you don't know what's next.
Yeah.
Or, and you got a choice. Take a break. That's an action step.
Mm-hmm.
Not always being and doing. Yep. It's important so that you're grounded and quiet and you keep coming back to, what do I really need right now? What is my purpose right now? How can I connect with another person right now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't always want to connect with another person. But when I do, it's like, okay, what's my next step for that?
Yeah.
So just taking your time and enjoying the moments of the present. Not so much 6 months from now.
Yeah.
But what can I enjoy right here, right now?
Finding the present as your gift.
Yes. Because yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery.
Absolutely.
Today is a gift. That's why we call it the present.
Yay.
You've heard that, right?
Yes.
It's a good one.
Ruth Davis, I can't thank you enough for coming in here and sharing your wisdom with us and the fact that you put it into a book so that people can actually look it up on Amazon or something like that. And the name of that was?
It's called Heart Sparks, Seven Practices for Loving Your Life.
Wonderful. That is just a beautiful title. And you derived it from some really interesting circumstances that really put it into a very important thing to share with the world.
And thank you.
I want to thank you for doing that.
I appreciate your time today, and I've had such a great conversation with you. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
This has been KXCR Conversations with you, a regular feature here at KXCR. Having a conversation is easy. Call 997-5252, email info@kxcr.net, or visit us at the station across from the library. This is Community Radio, KXCR, Florence, 90.7.